Hey, everybody, it's Scott Brennan here, and we're about to listen to episode 142 of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. That's a lot of them, and it's another good one. But before we do that, we got to go through our sponsors real quick that help us out and support the show, and you should definitely support them. If you're going on vacation or you live in the Adirondack region, you should definitely check out the Lake in Lake George, the Adirondack Brewery. They're our newest sponsor, and we are super happy to have them aboard. My favorite brewery to go visit, I go 3-4 times a year because I'm up there on vacation, right in the heart of Lake George. So, you know, stop in, have some delicious beer, delicious food. They're always doing fun events. So, I highly recommend checking them out. They got trivia every Thursday night at 7 p.m. They just tapped their newest IPA in their Shapeshifter series called Vortex. And they got their first foray into Northeast New England-style IPA category. It's got tons of El Dorado hops, tasting notes of melon, pineapple juice, and a touch of spearmint, which sounds awesome. I'm loving those juicy IPAs, by the way. I can't get enough of them. And then they got yoga in the barrel room Sunday at 11 o'clock. So you can head over to the Facebook page and register for that. That's becoming big, the yoga at the brewery. I guess you stretch out, get all loose, get all limber, and then you know, spoil it with 5 to 7 IPAs in a row. But check out the Adirondack Brewery. Give them some love on Facebook and Instagram. Now, we are not only lucky enough to be sponsored by one brewery, but we're sponsored by three. And the second of those breweries are Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey. One of my favorite places to visit. One of the best tap rooms, tasting rooms I've seen. Go check out the mural on the wall. Go check out their 16 taps. Go get a crowler now. You can do a lot of things. They got barrel programs, sour programs. Every Sunday they release something. They just released Pride, their dry Irish stout on Nitro. And then next week they're going to be re-releasing Gallows Hill, their New England style IPA in the tap room. So you need to check them out. All right. Manskirt Brewing is the third brewery that sponsors us. And we are very happy to have them aboard. If you go in Hackettstown, which there's three breweries to visit, but you should definitely start with Manskirt. They just expanded their tap list. There's 8 different things. They got cans of their great porter. They do a lot of fun events. It's just a really cool place to go. Just look at a Main Street in the old bank building. You should definitely check them out. Go see Joe in his Manskirt. Yeah, that's correct. Give him some love. Manskirt Brewing. This week I wanted to mention we've been having a little help with our guests, a woman by the name of Susan Robb. Her mission is to inspire others through her work with speakers and thought leaders from around the world, from sports figures to leadership gurus, and even a guy attacked by a hippo. That would, of course, be Paul Templer, who you heard on this podcast a few times. She's always trying to help others tap into their human potential and always challenge the status quo with every senior executive she works with. She holds a sales and leadership role with the Center for Leadership Studies, original home of the Situational Leadership out of North Carolina. She's helped us get a lot of guests on. If you heard Coach Jim Johnson, okay, great episode, Paul Templer, Bob Rathbun. So she represents a lot of people, so I wanted to give her a little shout out. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Go play trivia in all different locations in New Jersey. You can win prizes to the place, or you can win prizes to craft breweries all throughout New Jersey. Demented, Manskirt. Each week there's a bonus item that you could bring in and get points. You could be in last place, still win. So Trivia Revolution, and pretty soon, I'll let you know the details on the next episode. We might have a little Verbal Shenanigans trivia question with them where you could win prizes online. So we've got a great podcast for you. Parker Payne, a professional wake surfer, joins us, young Parker Payne. And then our good friend AJ Mattioli, LGBT director that you may be familiar with if you listen to the show. So it's a great episode. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, guys, this is Parker Payne. I'm 17 years old, I'm a professional wake surfer, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Check. All right, we are back again.
Hold on.
Oh,
killed the mic.
God, you bastard. Every time.
What, Daddy?
You're starting?
Oh,
are you starting? I'll let my loudest bark out.
Hello, Verbal Shenanigans. I'm the Obi.
Yeah, we were just saying before this that you now have my girlfriend talking to me in my dog's voice. Aww. Pretty much more than you do.
Well, that's adorable.
It's awful.
Oh, it brings the family together.
Yeah, I don't know why he's barking like that. He's just...
Daddy, yeah. It's rain.
I feel like there's some kind of like when I hit the record button, there's some kind of frequency that...
Like that
triggers his
that
ear.
Chip in his back, the one that's supposed to track him, that gives him a little shock. It's like, oh, it's podcast
it's,
time.
It's like the dog whistle. Oh, that's good too. Usually, the sound of food pouring into a bowl is always a good. Mm.
Scott, if you can give me a beer, sound. So I can open it by the mic, it will really enhance. Yeah,
it'll really enhance the listening pleasure for everybody. Oh, I'm gonna wait till this all clears up. Are we all done?
Now the sink's running.
Now the sink's running. That's good. Do you have any firecrackers you can let off?
Yeah.
All right. We've got food. We've got water. The door's open. It's not cold outside.
You'd
be absolutely fine now.
You're listening to the Alex Cast.
Anyway, welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans episode 140. I think it's 142. Let me double check that.
I believe so.
Yes, 142.
Look at us.
Last week was Bob and Ben. Bob Rathburn, Ben Brown. Bob Rathbun, the announcer for the Atlanta Hawks. And Ben Brown, the man from down under, from way down under, New Zealand. And well, I guess it's not really down under.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I guess it's like.
And he said Australians were assholes, yeah, so he's really mad right now.
Yeah, he didn't. Well, we got the recording.
He's calling our publicist, and once he gets our publicist, we'll have to ask him who our publicist is.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the first person we pissed off.
Yeah.
I pissed someone off. I didn't piss someone off. I looked up this, like, the guy called himself the Bear Whisperer, and I'm like, oh, this will be perfect for the show. I was like, oh, we have this great segment. We call it Bear News. We're talking about bears. Oh, we think you'd be great. And he just, like, his email back was, ugh, no thank you. Like, all right. Well, swing and a miss. But
listen, I don't bring my work home, Scott. Just because I spend the entire day with wild animals that can crush my head and it's the coolest thing on earth doesn't mean I want to come home and talk to you about it.
Yeah, I was a little off put. I thought for sure he'd be a sure get. Like, yeah, he's going to be totally.
Yeah, when you treat
totally
bears, it doesn't seem like the thing where it's like, I don't want to talk about what happened in the
office. That's the second bear person I pissed off because the bear preservation place that I tried to get on like 10 times, they were like all about interviews and then they're like, oh, we're just overwhelmed right now. No, thank you. I'm like, thanks, guys. But, yeah, so a lot of things going on with the podcast. Got a lot of cool scheduled guests. We got a lot of interaction going on the information superhighway there.
Yeah, a bunch of maybes.
A bunch of maybes. We got the Instagram pumping, the Twitter going. Things are good. This weekend was absolutely insane. I had three shows to produce, like all three of them. They're all mine. They weren't like showing up at a show is no big deal. It's like, okay, get there on time and do your set. But Tap House show, which was incredible, as always.
Always.
Then Saturday was a fundraiser that a buddy at work asked me, his son, for a Little League team. And that was like 100-something people, and that was good, but it's just hectic. And then Sunday was Table 42, which is mayhem. We crammed 80 people in that room this time.
Wow.
In Table 42. Like, that's a tight fit. So,
yeah.
So maybe he was actually happy this time, but probably
Scott,
not.
Scott, there was room up in the ceiling that we could have put people. Have you thought about putting fish wire and dangling people from the ceiling?
But, yeah, it was a really awesome show. Mike Morse, man. Oof. And then Andy, like Mike Morse and Andy is like a pretty good 1-2 counterpunch.
Yeah.
Andy Hayward. But yeah, I never seen Mike's full like headlining set. I've only seen him like do a smaller set at the Oak Barrel once. But man, he murdered. It was pretty awesome to see.
Yeah.
And then he ended with this weird hand puppet thing.
I saw the pictures.
So yeah, he's got a whole like hand puppet act out thing that he closes with.
Is it like, can you show me where your husband touches you?
Yeah, kind of like that. No. No, it's all like songs. It was funny because I was like, oh, you're doing your best Chips Cooney impression because he had a little boom box and like a suitcase. I'm like, are you doing his act? But yeah, all in all, it was good. It was like, it was fun weekend. It was like worked with like a lot of good comics, like just a lot. And you just realize like how creative a lot of these people are and like how everyone's act is so different. It's like fun to see because like everyone did well. No one really did. You know, poor out of all three nights, and there was like 13 comics over the weekend.
If you can list your top three crappiest comedians from your 3-day weekend, go ahead, Scotty.
Scott Brennan, Joe Fernandez. No. But, so I figured we'd change it up a little bit today. Ooh. Now, we're usually cracking beers.
I've heard about these.
I've always wanted, to have like a nice like rocks glass kind of thing with the big ice cubes, like they remind you of like Prohibition style, like you know, like nice drinks. So we're gonna. Alex gave me these for. Is it my birthday? My birthday. Oh, thanks,
Alex.
So she gave me a Harvey set of nice glasses and these little ice cube makers. So they make
spheres,
these. They make these perfectly round ice cubes. So we're gonna do a little. I'm gonna change it up here. We're gonna drink like gentlemen today.
Oh.
Which is gonna be very hard.
Yeah.
But so I got these round ice cubes. We're gonna have a little gentleman jack and
all right.
Round ice cubes if I could ever get this one out. Hmm. But yeah. So yeah,
can always put your baseball in your cup.
Yeah, yeah. baseball become like my I don't know, I like hold it almost every podcast, it seems. I don't know, it's like a nervous twitch or something.
Well, the season's almost here.
Well, I was just about to say, Monday is opening day for the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
I actually bought tickets. I'm going to take off and go because I haven't been in a few years. And Opening day itself. My favorite day to go. I'm going with a buddy of mine. I'm looking forward to it. But it conjured up a couple of thoughts of mine.
Okay.
It was last year at least. Mm. I was singing the Mets, Get Mesmerized song at work today, and it reminded me of all the bad songs we reviewed, which actually led
to Jim Piplinski.
Yeah, where is the...
What's that?
Here it is. I was looking for the booze.
Holby!
Yeah, Jim Piplinski, which was a player for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Now, we went into a whole bunch of songs, but I found a couple more that I think is worth listening to.
Okay.
Because the amount of songs does not seem to end.
No. There was a good stretch there from 70s to 90s where every team's like, no, this is one that's going to put us over the top.
So I thought it would be... I have a couple songs that I think we should sample.
All right. I've heard this before.
So, Rick and Suds on News Talk Radio 610 WIOD.
This is
your Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins can't touch us.
We've got David Griggs on the line.
This is a weird lyrics and all this.
They got a nice intro, these two guys in Dolphin shirts.
Yo, first of all, Rick, the Dolphins are back. We're a new team. We're Super Bowl bound, and they can't touch us. By the way, why don't you play that new song for me by Corey and the Fins?
Yeah, Corey and the Fins.
Good, Corey.
Blue 42. Yeah. Sit. Hut.
Can't touch us.
Can't touch us. You might need this whiskey for this one.
Can't touch us.
So, obviously can't touch, but we gotta wait till here come the lyrics.
My Miami hits them so hard, makes them say, oh my lord, thank you for blessing me with all those Dolphins and all that speed, that's good. And you're down with a Super Bowl team in a super hometown, we're known.
In the super hometown.
This is a team you can't touch.
Oakland had the same kind of theme song, they had to cut it for some reason.
Yeah, that's how we're playing and you know.
Can't touch us.
Look at that ball fly, man.
Can't touch us.
Yo, let me bust these football lyrics.
Okay.
Rest through kids and fans. You gotta like
like that, and I know you want to dance.
Now they're all wearing those like Zubaz pants. Maybe I should turn this towards you just so you get a little idea of some of the ridiculousness here.
What's going on? Chill. Like that. Push on Miami. Push them all back. Let them know you're too much.
There's a random Hooters girl in the video.
Yeah. That's how you work it.
Now,
that makes it classic.
Here's my favorite. There is what looks to appear as like a linebacker playing the guitar.
Hey, I told you.
Hey, Pittsburgh, I told you. I gotta hear this guy again. Here.
Word, don't you know?
Can't touch us.
Hey, Pittsburgh, I told you.
Hey, Pittsburgh, I told you.
You think somebody in Pittsburgh is like, jam you?
Like,
what year was that?
This was 1990, I believe. They said something like that. Hold on, I can tell you.
Were they even close in 1990?
I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, so there's a nice addition. This one was one of my favorites. This one's as brutal as it gets. We're going to go to the Packers now.
Okay.
Apparently the Packers had, hold on, the Packarena.
Oh, my God.
That's correct. The Packarena, like the Macarena. It was.
I was gonna say like an Egyptian.
I guess their Z100, like their morning show there, did it. I mean, 1996, and this one
is that why Brett Favre retired?
This one's as cringeworthy as you think it's gonna be. So let's take a listen. Uh huh.
Uh huh. We're off to a good start.
When we score, I do the Pacarena. Packer fans do it from Jethro to Nina.
No.
We
yes.
want more. Another pack score in 96. It's Reggie White we vote for.
Favre gets that touchdown and he does the Packer. I gotta hear that again. I gotta hear when it comes in. And then they said something about Reggie White in there. Hold on. Let's hear this again. Let's listen a little deeper.
It's Reggie White we vote for.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, it was insightful. They told us everybody who does the Packarena.
I can't even. I'm just going to skip ahead to a random spot and see if it changes at all.
I'm watching every play in the pack, I'm a believer. Come join me, they're on TV. Is he textured? I look like Reinitschke.
Reinitschke gets in there?
I look like Reinitschke.
I wonder if they had to, like, call him. Mr. Nitschke, sir, Hall of Famer for the Green Bay Packers. Is it cool if we use your name in the Pack Arena? Is it all right?
Favre, those are touchdowns. That's going to be in my head all night. But I want to move on, and I don't want to keep playing these forever. This one's ridiculous. Mm. This one, I went back to 1985.
Okay.
The Seahawks locker room. You got it. It's called...
Oh, Jim Zorn and Steve Largent.
Oh, yes. It's called... Because the Blue Wave is on a roll. Okay.
Okay.
Because the Blue Wave is on
a roll. Yeah. When I think football, I think 80s Seahawks.
Yep. This is getting you pumped, hopefully. They're in the gym. They're all tired.
Mm-hmm. Well, they need music to inspire them, Scott.
This one hurts. And I'm stretching out. Here comes somebody.
Hey, what's going on in here, man? Everything's going to be all right. I know it was a tough day out there and everything, but we're going to make it this year. We're going to work hard this year, and the Blue Wave is going to be rolling.
Oh.
Look at this. Look at this.
The work is tough and the days are long. I've been working out and getting strong.
Watch the way this guy benches.
Pushing hard to reach our goal.
And the Blue Wave is on the roll.
Got the others on the run.
This sounds like
that's Mike Tice.
And the Blue Wave is on a roll.
You know that that line took that guy 52 takes.
Oh, yeah.
And the Blue Wave is
on a
roll.
Rock. What? damn it, did it again. That sounds like those car commercial parody songs right there.
I just want to hear this guy's his Blue Wave on a roll one more time.
All right.
Oh, I think I skipped it.
What'd you do?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Mm. Oh, the Blue Wave's not on a roll right now. Oh,
no. And it's YouTube, so we got to watch a commercial every single time.
Oh, here we go. Here we
go. This year, and the Blue Wave came out and getting strong. We've got the others on the run. And we won't lay back till we're done. We're aiming for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
And the Blue Wave is on a roll.
He says it like he wasn't even sure.
Yeah.
On a...
They came up to him like 5 minutes before this video.
Now there's a guy lift. I missed it. He's bench pressing while singing. He's like, the Blue Wave's on a roll, like ripping sets of bench press. But
it sounded like a song that would have been in a Blues Brothers movie.
So bad. I'm not sure if we did Ram It, but we might as well listen to it. A classic L.A. Rams song. I guess this would be L.A. This one's called Ram It.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna let it go.
Hey, R-A-M.
Hey, 80s and the phrase
R-A-M.
Ram It.
Hey, hey, R-A-M. Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, R-A-M. Hey, hey.
I think that was Eric Dickerson that went by.
Ram It.
It's my personal favorite of these.
I could see me, like dancing to this one.
Ram It. All choreographed dancing. Imagine having choreographed these idiots like to get one take together.
I'm starting this off. The Rams get down, so nobody score. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, give it back to Zion. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Ram it. He's in front of a chalkboard.
I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
I want to interview that guy.
Nobody likes ramming more than me. Interestingly enough, I'll be talking to AJ Mattioli later. I like ramming so damn much. Everybody knows I like to touch. I just got to get this hook.
Beautiful mullet there.
How is this not sexual?
I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
No, I'm talking about
know
football.
How to ram it, ram it. When you know how to ram it, just ram it. God, you have to see these things and just be like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
After that episode, I found out the Phillies had a song.
Yeah.
Phillies Fever, it was called, from 1979.
Phillies Fever. Now, I figure we end it with a classic. By Scott Stapp of Creed. We played this the last time, but let's just get...
Oh, yeah.
I just need a little taste before we do our interview here. This is called Marlins Will Soar, getting us ready for opening day.
Mm-hmm.
2017, big Marlins season coming up.
Yeah, all 6,000 seats are sold.
Just picture all 6,000 seats, people swaying. Yeah, you got $30 tickets.
Yeah. 45-year-old Ichiro's in center field.
Mike Stanton's like, oh my God, what did I do to myself?
Jose Fernandez is the happiest guy on the team.
First off, why would a Marlin soar? Like, wouldn't he say swim or glide?
I guess for a little bit it jumps out like a dolphin.
Please
but
don't analyze Scott Stapp and be on his side.
I'm just saying, legally, I guess you can look at it like that, but it's not really a long soar time. It's like, he's out
it's
of the
more
water
of a hop,
for two.
Like, yeah. Like a bounce.
Yeah.
One strike, two strikes, swing away.
I missed this one. I missed it.
Stolen base.
Well, thank you, Scott Stapp, for getting me pumped for opening day baseball. Where the Mets got, and there's no excuses now. The team's there, you know. No excuses.
They stay healthy. They got a chance.
No excuses.
If it's like last year.
There's no more, the rookies are coming, you know, like now it's time. They signed their big guy, Cespedes is with us, and, you know, now it's time to roll, but I'm excited.
Big sex season in Atlanta, though.
I know. I'm a little upset about it, I'm not going to lie. But we got to get to our interview.
Oh.
So, I contacted this guy on, I think I got him through Instagram, actually. His name is Parker Payne, which is just a badass name to be.
It sounds like a tag team partner for a jobber wrestling organization.
Yes.
Iron Mike Sharp and Parker Payne.
But he is a professional wake surfer, which is different than wakeboarding. I actually had to look this up. Okay. But the only reason I noticed it was through the videos. But we'll get into that with him. And, let's give him a call.
All righty.
Parker Payne. Come on, Marlin Soar. It's time to do a new interview. I missed that song.
Oh, Scott Stapp at gmanagement@gmail.com. I am sending an email.
Oh, absolutely. I actually heard an interview with him on, like, Opie and Anthony. He had a lot of, like, demons. He had a big drinking problem, drug problems. But he also made Creed.
Been funny if Parker picked up. Is like, what? No, we're just talking about you. Big drug problem.
Hi, it's Parker. I'm sorry I missed your call. Please leave a message and I'll call you back. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Parker, it's Scott Brennan from the Verbal Shenanigans Show. You can call me right back at this number that I called you on, and we'll just pump you right into the show. So, thanks, Bile. So, I'm just going to keep recording as we can.
Oh, all right. But, all right.
Yeah, who do the Phillies open up with?
That is a good question. Google Philly schedule. We are, I think it's the Red Sox.
Really? Interleague play.
Well, because we got that one extra on both sides. The odd number. That's 2017. Looking it up. But I think that's the second year in a row. It seems like we're always that team they shove into the interleague to start the season. They're like, eh. We don't have to worry about building you guys.
It's going to be a little while. Yeah. What'd you do this weekend? Anything?
This weekend, I'm trying to think, what did we do this weekend? We went down to see some friends. Just did the 40-year-old couples, let's just drink and wine and act like we were partying or something to that effect kind of deal. Because their kid is over with their parents kind of deal.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got some bar food, you know, stuff like that. It's like, oh my God!
This is crazy.
I'm putting it on Instagram. Woo!
Let's do the ice luge. You know, like.
Duck lips in the Instagram photo.
Well, anything else crazy? Or you just did the whole party thing?
I'm trying to think. It was like Sunday. I was dead tired. We were going to go over to the table 42 show, but we were just so freaking dead from. Because I got woke up again at like 4 in the morning by India, just because it's like...
By India, all of India.
Yeah, pretty much. You know.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, 1.8 billion in all of rings. Just nuts. Yeah.
It's loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's loud.
Last night, actually, we were going to... We were kind of looking at church for something to do. I wanted to go to a movie.
All right.
And we've seen most of the good. There's been a lot of great movies. I mean, Logan was great.
Enjoyed it, definitely.
Who else was out there? We saw the Batman Lego movie before. It was all right. I'm trying to think of all the good ones. It was Logan. It was...
Did you see Get Out? You said it was...
Get Out. That was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't watch that yet.
But I wanted to go see the Belko experiment. Have you seen the commercials for that?
Never even heard of it.
It's basically a movie where you have this office building in, like, in the outskirts of some European country, and everybody comes in, then all of a sudden, all the doors shut, metal doors come down, and they pretty much do an announcement over the intercom, if you kill one person, or we're going to randomly kill somebody.
I think I saw a preview for this.
Yeah, it's got Merle from The Walking Dead. It's got the doctor from Scrubs.
Yeah, I saw a preview.
Stuff like that. And I wanted to go see it. And Izzy's like, well, I know it's not going to be a happy ending, so I can't watch the movie.
Okay.
And we're going through this weird thing right now where unless it ends, and she knows it's going to end in a happy ending, we can't see the movie together.
Now, why do you think that?
She just can't stand going to movies with sad endings. In fact, she had a ritual for quite a while, which was Wikipedia the movie, know the ending.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, and I pretty much insisted to her, we are never going to a movie if you Wikipedia. And she's like, why? Because, and I said, if it's a bad ending, I'm going to hear you crying, and I'm already going to know what the ending's going to be. Or if you're going to be smiling or whatever, if I look over, I already know it's going to be the chipper ending. So I can't get...
Interesting. That's kind of a bizarre thing to do.
Yeah.
So, like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, I mean, we went to Beauty and the Beast, so that was pretty...
How was that? Easy. Any good?
I never saw the cartoon before. I mean, the film was good. I mean, it's funny, the outrage about the gay character. He did, like, two things. It's like, oh, he's gay. But nothing where it's like, oh, I yearn for you. Oh, and that with that, Parker Payne.
Nope. We'll talk Beauty and the Beast in a minute. Mm-hmm. Parker Payne, hey, how are you, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just climbed into the boat after riding.
You're in the boat now?
Yeah, I mean, I missed your car because I was in the water, actually.
You're in the water.
Wow.
We had a tattoo artist do an interview while tattooing. This is right in that territory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What kind of bars do you get out in the middle of the ocean out of curiosity?
Yeah, I'm sure your service is excellent. Hello.
I have three bars at AT&T right now.
All right.
Not that bad.
You're sponsored by AT&T, aren't you?
I wish I was. That'd be sick. Yeah.
But Parker, first thing we were saying, you have a pretty awesome name. You have a good superhero kind of name, like Parker Payne.
Yeah.
You know, at night you might be something else.
Yeah. If I told you that, I'd have to kill you. So
that's right. It's not going too well on this side anyway. So
I may welcome that. Yeah. Are you Daredevil?
So Parker, where are you calling from right now?
I'm actually on Lake Louisville in Dallas, Texas.
In Texas. Ooh. So, first off, I think I found you through Instagram, and I actually at first I thought you were a wakeboarder, and then I saw wake surfer, and I actually had to do a little research on the difference between them. Now, what is the main difference between wakeboarding and wake surfing?
So wakeboarding and wake surfing are both on a boat.
Right.
Wake surfing, you're right behind the boat, and you are ropeless. You do not have straps or binding. You're riding a scaled down surfboard right behind the boat, and you surf the wave that the boat creates using a surf system and weight.
So it's kind of almost like a skimboard kind of, or?
Yeah, there's two different styles. So you can have a surf style board and a skim style board. A surf style board is probably what you see in the ocean. So big fins, a stick board, a traditional surf style board. And we also ride skim boards, which are, you know, what you see people throwing down on the beach. They're very thin. Right. They're flat. They don't have any fins on them. So there's two different styles, and both styles call for different types of tricks.
Yeah, because I watched your videos, and, like, I actually, like, it took me a minute to realize. I'm like, how is he moving without the rope? Now, it takes a certain kind of boat, correct, to pull you like that?
Yes, sir. So it takes a wakeboard boat. My personal boat of choice is the Superboat SS550. That's what I'm sitting on right now.
Right.
But you can just about any wakeboard boat you can surf on.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, were you a wakeboarder first, or did you?
Yes. Yeah, well, I had always grown up being a lake rat. My family had a boat. You know, I did the traditional. I was tubing. I was two-skiing.
Right.
I was trying wakeboarding, and I was getting hurt wakeboarding all the time from taking bad falls. And wake surfing just came out, so I thought I'd try something new. And I guess I caught it at the right trend and rode that for 10 years, and now I'm one of the top pros in the sport.
Hmm. So, what kind of competitions is it? Is it, are you racing? Is it like a style, kind of like dancing, where you get scores? How does that work?
So, our sport goes by a dive system. So, it's a subjective system. You have 2 60-second passes with 2 falls, and you have a score of 1 to 10 for each category, which is difficulty, intensity, variety, and execution.
Hmm.
And you're scored by those 4, and there's 3 judges in the boat, so your best possible score could be 120 points.
Interesting. So the judges are – so does every rider get the same boat and, like, the same judges, or do you have a driver that you work with? Like, how does that work?
So a boat is already on the lake with judges and a driver in it. You're usually shuttled out by a jet ski, and they'll drop you behind a boat, and you get up and do 2 60-second passes. And then you ride into shore.
Very unique. It's kind of almost hard to picture, like, in your head if you've never really seen it before. Like I said, when I really watched your video, that was kind of the first time I didn't really picture you being able to keep going that far without a rope.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think that you can do it, but it's definitely possible. You can get some pretty big waves behind the boat.
Hmm. About how fast do you go on the board?
Asking you.
Hello?
Hey, you still with me?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I was
all
just
right,
asking.
Sorry, I'm changing. It's a little windy out today, so I'm changing into headphones so I can hear you a little bit better.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. We'll wait a second. No problem.
Yeah. Should we entertain or something while we're waiting?
All right.
We could sing that Marlin.
All right.
About how fast?
I'm off.
Okay, cool.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. About how fast do you go when you're boarding?
So, on wake surfing, you go a little bit slower than wakeboarding. Wakeboarding is about 20 miles an hour. Wake surfing, we go about 11 miles an hour. So, really slow. It's a very low impact sport.
Hmm. So now, like, what are, like, when you go, you're doing the wake surfing, are you? Do you have a planned out routine like skating or diving, like you said, or is it just like kind of what's coming to you? Is it more of a freestyle kind of thing?
I kind of have a little bit of a set run plan. I know in my mind kind of how I'm going to lay my run out. But, you know, there's always changing variables. I might fall or miss a trick. So I have to adjust my run accordingly to, you know, how I've done so far.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, what kind of league does wakeboarding have right now? Or wake surfing, sorry.
What kind of league?
League, yeah. Like, you know, like, are you, is it a weekly thing? Is it points? Is it just like tournaments? Like, how does that work?
So, we have a couple different tours within the wake surf world. We have about 3. We have our pro tour. Which is sold by Superboats, and we have our CWSA tours, which are very general, anybody can enter type contests. And then we have one special tour pulled by Taiga, Taiga Boats a year, at one location. So there's about 20 to 25 events a year. And she's in the same family and friends showing up at all the contests. So it feels like a family reunion when you're showing up at these contests.
Hmm. Now, is it cumulative, like where you get points per tournament, there's a winner at the end, or is it just each tour is a different win?
Each tour is a different win, but those wins add up to your final world ranking.
Oh, nice. Hmm. So where are you ranked at the moment?
Right now, I think I'm currently at number 2 in the world.
Oh, that's it?
Oh. Who's number 1?
I
want to call him and yell at him.
Hopefully number 1 by the end of the year.
That's awesome, man. Now, obviously it's a sport that it's got to be relatively new and I would imagine growing, but in order to become a pro at this, like considered a pro, what does that actually mean?
So being a pro in the sport, and just like any sport, you always start, you know, with your grassroots type contest. As soon as you're getting into the sport, you might want to compete at a local level. To be pro, you really have to start proving yourself. You have to stand out and show something that makes you a little bit different. Over time, you know, of course, you'll gain, you know, if you have an Instagram, you gain more followers. You'll become a little bit more apparent to the crowd. And then once you start getting that certain skill level and skill set, then you can start really competing at a higher level and then eventually make it to pro.
Interesting. So do you accumulate sponsors through this? Like, and where is the audience? Is it through more like a YouTube and Instagram thing? Is it televised at all?
They're on the boat with the judges. It's very weird.
Oh,
they get like 10,000 people on that one boat.
So usually our following depends, a lot of it is social media. When we're at contest, it's live streamed across the internet. So all of like the pros followers will go and click on the links and be able to watch online. At some of the PWT stops, which is the pro tour stops, we'll have as many as 15,000 people on the shore here to watch the wakeboarders and wake surfers compete. But I would say our main audience is through Instagram and social media.
Interesting. So now let me ask you something. Like are you able to support yourself through this? Are you able to make money off of it, or is it still just so grassroots that, you know, you have to do something else in the meantime?
No, I make money, and you know, my sponsors help me a lot. But I can definitely support myself from the sport of wake surfing alone.
That's great, man. That's great. How old are you?
I'm 17 years old.
Oh my God. Wow. We had a girl who wanted to be trying to be an astronaut. She was 18 years old. So you now, well, other than my niece, I had my 6-year-old niece on the show once. But other than that, you are now holding the title of youngest person on the podcast.
All right.
I know that means a lot to you. That's like
right up there with the wake surfing championship trophy.
Right. Second in the world is nothing compared to youngest on verbal shenanigans. But where do you compete? I saw your thing. Like, it's you're all over the place doing this. You know, you're I guess all over in the United States. Are you going all over the world too, or?
I go all over the world. I think amazing. This year I'm going to Russia and Japan to compete.
Jeez.
That's tremendous, man. Now, do you guys get an audience watching you at the events? You said it's a lot of family and friends, but do you draw a good audience too?
We get a lot of people at the events as well.
Now, are they just watching out on a lake, or do they have like a screen they can check out?
So there's a huge jumbotron that will usually be put on the beach, and people will watch from the shore. We usually ride pretty close to the shore so people can see.
Now, Parker, I'd imagine with like being 17 and with school and whatnot, and the commitment to this, are you able to balance both, or are you just like, screw it, I'm a wake surfer, screw the diploma?
No, school is definitely my top priority right now.
Oh, good.
I'm wake surfer by passion, entrepreneur by trade. So I'm definitely, I plan on going to school in Orlando for college. I go to a special private school right now that allows me to miss as much school as I need.
I wish I went to that school.
Yeah. Well, here's the best part. I don't even have homework at this school.
What? Dude, are you sure that's a school?
The Trump administration really started out.
It's like,
if I get a diploma at the end, then it's a school.
Yeah. Oh, all those online colleges are basically the same thing, much. Man.
The schooling system has definitely changed a lot from the past decade.
I agree 100%.
So what are you going to school for?
I probably will go for international trade and business. Right now I have a lot of, I do a lot of stuff in Mexico with the tourism business for a lot of entrepreneurial stuff. So I really want to learn to, you know, communicate with other countries and make business as well as the United States and elsewhere to be able to travel. Hmm.
Interesting. Now, like, how about your family? Are they very supportive of you and your skills? Are they involved with it, or are you kind of on your own?
My parents are definitely involved, and they love to travel with me wherever I go, so they're always by my side supporting me at the contest and wherever wake surfing may take me.
It's awesome. A little jealous.
What are we seeing in the future with wake surfing? Do we see like more venues, more competition? What are they trying to do to even add more to the series?
Grow the sport.
Yeah.
Wake surfing is still in a very grassroots stage. I would say our contests have actually been getting, the number of contests have been getting smaller a year, but they've been coming more legitimized. More people have been showing up instead of just a very grassroots contest. They're very, you know, they're televised. There's more people on the side. So hopefully it's to get more people within the sport and have more people wake surfing and enjoying it just like we do.
Now, let's get to the real important questions. You're a professional wake surfer that hangs out on lakes all the time. Do you have to, like, swat the girls away with your board? Like, you have to be a catch.
I definitely want to tell you. There definitely are a lot of girls. especially on social media. And I have a large local presence here in Texas. You know, I get the craziest messages on Instagram of people saying, "Hey, I saw you out this day," or "Hey, I saw you out that day,"
or "Hey, you want to do an interview?"
Yeah, that's weird. He got all those girls, and all the one he picked was your interview, Scott.
Yeah, he's like this guy with the big red beard seems like the real winner of them all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be cool to be like a young athlete, and we've had on the show in the last couple months, we've had a couple Red Bull athletes. In fact, last weekend we had a Red Bull kayaker, and very similar to you. Now, he was a little older. He's been doing it, I don't know, he said like 15 years, something like that, and he's like in like his 30s. Then we also had a Red Bull cliff diver. Which that sport seems to be growing. So it's cool to hear like that these sports, maybe we don't see them on, you know, ESPN and we don't see them on Fox Sports, but you're through the internet, you're able to grow whatever the hell you want. You know, like, you know, there is an audience for all this. So it's pretty cool that you are finding it. Have you ever heard of like Red Bull getting involved in that or?
Actually I was supposed to have a Red Bull girl coming on my boat today. Funny you ask.
That had nothing to do with sponsorship, did it?
Hey, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Interesting.
Red Bull is definitely getting involved. They're sponsoring an event. They haven't started sponsoring riders yet, but they're definitely having a presence in wake surfing right now.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, how often
are you? Red Bull.
Go ahead.
Red Bull, of course, likes to sponsor, you know, very extreme sports. Like wakeboarding is a very extreme sport, so there's a huge Red Bull's total marketing scheme appeals to wakeboarding. Wake surfing, on the other hand, is a very mellow sport. It's a very family friendly sport, so I don't know if Red Bull will ever get around to sponsoring wake surfers, but they're definitely have a presence within the sport, not just with riders. Yep.
So how often are you training? Are you out there every day? Are you out there in the mornings? Is it a full day thing? How often are you putting time into this?
I'm usually out there once or twice a day.
Awesome. Now let me ask you have to have obviously someone that goes with you. You can't drive the boat up. I mean, that'll probably be coming one day.
Yeah, like a Bluetooth remote control.
Thing, yeah. Yep. But who's out there with you? Like, you have a coach or your dad or who's doing it? Or just some dude or the Red Bull girl you met the other day?
It's usually not that hard to find somebody who wants to go on the boat. But I have some local friends. Today I'm actually shooting a video for Slingshot Wake Surf Boards and wakeboards. So we have a guy out from Slingshot, and we have a couple of riders, and we have a filmer today. So we've got a whole merry band of people on the boat today. I hear shooting some video. But, you know, it varies day to day. It might have my dad one day, might have some friends the other day, might have some people from a company come out the next day. So it just depends.
Now, I know you say it's kind of a laid-back sport, but I got to think you got some really cool tricks being number two in the world. What's the craziest trick that you've done on wake surfing, or what's one that you aspire to do that you keep on coming that close to doing?
The craziest trick that I've probably done is a 720 big spin, and that's on a skim style board. I was the second person to land the trick after I coached the first person who landed the trick. So I was helping him with the trick, and he landed it. And I decided I had to go home and land it too, and I did.
So you were coaching him to do it, but you had never done it before.
I had never done it before. And
God.
He was trying other tricks too. I'm like, hey, maybe if you did it like this and that, then it would work. And it worked for him. So I knew, oh, hey, it worked for him, so I guess I can do it myself.
Now, one more question really before you go. Now, like, I was thinking, like, here's obviously a sport where you're pushing yourself to do new tricks, and I'm sure it's like, you know, when Tony Hawk did that first 1080 and whatnot, it was so new. And so all the kids, and like you're a kid now, but all the athletes got to be keep pushing each other and whatnot. But here's a sport where you're not being towed by anything, so there's got to be a lot of falling down and waiting for the boat to come around. And do you ever have days where you just can't land anything and you're just, you know, it just becomes completely frustrating where you feel like you're spending more time hanging in the water than you are actually, like, landing tricks?
Oh, I definitely think it happens with just about anything, not just wake surfing.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there are days, like, I have a bad day, and if I'm just not feeling it, I'd rather go in than push and keep riding and making bad habits. So it really just depends on what the day's like.
Sure. So, Parker, I don't want to keep you too long. If people want to check you out and check your videos out or say hello to you and say, hey, we heard that hot 17-year-old on Verbal Shenanigans, where should they go? Where should they go?
They can either check out my website, which is parkerpayne.com. Last name is P-A-Y-N-E. Or they can go on all of my social media. And my social media handle is at parkerpayne_surf. It should be pretty easy to find me on that. But I have all kinds of videos and pictures for people to check out.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I found you. I don't remember exactly. Something popped up where I was like, oh, that's a cool photo. And now we're talking.
Yeah.
But Parker, we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully your sport takes off and we see you on TV, and yeah. Hopefully the next year you're number one.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You guys ever come near Jersey when you wake surf?
Hey, I might one day. You never know.
All right.
Any competitions like on the East Coast?
I have some in North Carolina and Florida.
Oh, yeah, that's a little far.
That usually changes.
All right, yeah, well, just tell your sponsors really to fly us out.
Yeah. We prefer Florida, just an FYI.
Yeah, and first class.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that was neat.
Yeah.
We're expanding our horizons.
We are.
We never know where we're going when we expand. It's just like, oh, that's what's there.
Nope. Never know. Yep. Never know. But the point is, I mean, I don't know. Like, I really enjoy talking to like these, I almost said alt athletes, but like these sports that are like a little bit more niche, you know, like because it's fun to hear like the grind. Like it's like, you know, I can compare it to comedy or podcasting or something like that. They're so, you know, niche that are never going to be seen, but there's still an audience for it somewhere, you know, like there's still something. But
it's so unique. I mean, we're coming, every time we kind of research these, we coming up with new stuff. It's like, oh, damn, that's like a league, that's a sport, that's an event.
Yeah, I mean, like, even the podcast in general, like we were talking the other day, like, you know, we got into like a lull for a little bit where we weren't scheduling anything, and it was kind of like a roll of the dice, like what we were doing that week. And now it seems like it's, the efficiency is back, and I've been really trying to, you know, keep it everything planned out. Of course, if some mega guest pops up here and there, I'm going to be like, we're going to do it tonight. Mm-hmm. Like I was hoping one guest would pop up tonight. But
yeah, I saw those Twitter back and forth, but what can you do?
Seems like it's going to be another Sean Kemp, the Sean Kemp of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to roll right into a good friend of the cast.
That's impossible.
No, we are.
There's a friend of the cast.
Just ram it.
Just ram it.
Love that song. But let's get AJ on.
Let's do it.
I haven't talked to him in a It's been a while now.
I think it's been about a month.
No, it's got to be more than that. It's a month? We have not. Have we talked to her even in the new year? In the new year?
How dare you?
I know.
How dare you?
I know. And since
say 15 Hail Marys.
I know.
But I'll go on Podbeam, see what was the last.
You go on Podbeam.
That's what I'm doing.
Why I dial this call. Just ram it. For those of you who don't know, AJ Mattioli is kind of like our correspondent.
Hello?
I was just introducing you. Well,
what's wrong with you picking up the phone while we're introducing you?
You couldn't wait 1 second?
I apologize. You can continue. It better be a nice introduction.
No, moment's over.
Yeah, moment's over. Here's some.
How are you doing, you?
Here's the scumbag we talk to occasionally. But I was just saying, for those people who don't know, if it's their first time listening, AJ, we had AJ on quite a while back now.
Episode 129 was the last episode.
129. Okay, so yeah.
Dimebag so Dave and AJ Mattioli.
Oh, yeah. So that was like 12 episodes ago. That's almost a year. No, just I kidding. Don't know. No, that's 3 months.
I just show up. So.
But AJ.
I was going to call you on the mess.
Yeah. The first time we ever had you on was really more to talk about like film and production. I think at the time you were filming Lady Peacock or releasing it, and you've done several things since then. And one of the fun things about AJ that we've been doing is he's been going through a transition, and he's a big part of the LGBT community. So we always get a little perspective on that. And we also just check in on the transition, and I hear a lot of squeaking in that voice. So, AJ, welcome back to the show again. This has to be like number 5 or 6.
Yeah, at least definitely. Yeah, with the little check-ins here and there, at least 5 or 6 times.
Absolutely.
I'm sensing a deeper tone in the voice. I got to be honest.
Oh yeah, it dropped a lot. I would say in the last month, it really went from really, really just dropped insanely.
Soprano to bass.
Yeah. It's amazing when you can hear it yourself. You know, because everyone's like, "Oh, I can hear it," and then like the first time I talk in the morning is when it's the most masculine. It always catches me a little off guard.
I need a few hours to get to my masculinity. Like around 1:30, it's like, damn, bro.
Dude, you need a lot more than hours to find your masculinity. But yeah, the morning, it definitely. Well, I think in general, like, you know, like I'll wake up and give my girlfriend a kiss. She'll be like, "Hello." I'm like, "Oh, whoa," you know. No, but everyone's got a deeper voice in the morning. I think you got to take the average. You got to take the average, like what happens from like 12 to 5.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that now when I go to a place and order something, if I go to a bodega and order a sandwich, they'll refer to me as he and him right away, and then or sir, as it usually it's how they're referencing me, like, "How can I help you, sir?" And now when I place the order, it's not an instant, "Oh my God, it's a girl."
Okay. Right.
You know, because usually I would, you know, I'll have a hoodie on, and like my face is definitely becoming more masculine. You know, my hair is obviously very short. And now it's not, you know, an instant, "Oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am. I didn't realize." It's, it's now I could just be a boy throughout, which is nice. I would say that happens about 30% of the time now, which is a nice change of pace.
That's more times than I get recognized as a male. So, Now, let me ask you something though. Like, you really dropped the ball on the updates. You didn't do your video updates as much as I thought you were going to do. But,
I know. I'm so bad at it.
You know, for someone who's in video production and makes movies, the 30-second videos, I was, you know, I saw like 2 of them. Like, okay, she's going to do it. He's going to do this. And then, no. You know.
No. But anyway. I love those trans kids that take a picture every day for like 3 years. And I'm like, God bless. I don't have the time for that.
Yeah, your film's going to be a 45-second commercial.
Hey,
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
But let me ask you, like, with the shots of testosterone and stuff like that. The last time we talked, you said you were like having a little bit of like pain with them and whatnot. Now I did notice you. I think it was a little while back. Now you said something about like smaller needles or whatnot. But can you like update us on what's going on with that?
Yeah. So
God, I pay attention.
You do pay attention. That is pretty good. Well, pretty much. I mean, the needles that they give you are your standard needles that they give everyone. So, like, the testosterone needles are pretty standard. But if you actually take the time and speak with the pharmacist and tell them that it's hurting, they are able to adapt. So what I'm able to do now is the longer needles, the one that was a little bit more painful, the wider needle, is what I use to eventually use to grab the testosterone and put into the syringe. And then I take that painful needle off and change it to a needle used for insulin, which is a little bit thinner. So it takes a little bit longer to, then when I inject it, the needle's thinner. So it takes a little bit longer for the testosterone liquid to get from the syringe into my muscle, but the needle's a lot thinner, so the pain isn't there.
Now, how are you doing with the actual, I think I would have a hard time administering my own shots. Mm. Obviously, I guess if you're doing it, I mean, how long are you doing it daily and whatnot, but how are you doing with administering your own medication?
It definitely, I wish I could say it gets easier. It definitely is a complete bug out. Like it's you know, like, I mean, and it doesn't affect me until, like, I'll set it up. I'll, you know, I clean my counter off. I get everything sterilized. You know, I wash my hands, set everything up nice and neat, fill up the needle. And it's not until I literally look at my skin and what I'm about to do.
Oof.
And I'm like, oh, God, okay, all right, here we go, AJ, here we go.
Just don't watch Requiem for a Dream the night before.
Oh, God. Or the in Saw 2 where the girl just falls into a pit full of needles.
Oh, Saw 2, yeah. Yeah, I remember that scene.
Brutal.
Side note, like, I don't know why, I just remind, I do know why, but if you ever get a chance, read the book Scar Tissue by Anthony Kiedis of the Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Like, he was talking about, like, you know, when he was a heroin user, he was, like, super clean and super organized. And, like, he was using heroin all the way through, Californication, that, you know, basically their rebirth into you know, modern society or whatever you want to say. But John Frusciante, who I think is one of the most brilliant guitar players ever, was their guitar player.
Easily.
And easily. He was talking about what a fit, like, he was just gross. Like, he would take needles and pick them up off the street and, like, you know, like, fill them up, like, reuse needles over and over again. And he had, like, at one point he had gangrene so bad in his arms that, like, there was, like, a legit, like, danger of him losing his arm. And as a guitar, as anybody, that's dangerous, but as a guitar player, can you imagine that? Like, your addiction got so bad that,
well, there's amazing. In different states,
but that's a great
in
book
states, no, definitely just scar tissue
it's called. I loved it.
There's in different states, there's actually places that give out free clean needles, and it's made so that people with addictions can go. I mean, not every state has it, sadly, but it's where people with addictions can go.
Really?
And it's like, yeah, and it's like, listen, like, just because you're a heroin addict, and at these facilities, they also give out, like, pamphlets on getting help, and, you know, and they, you know, you can.
It's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like, if people are going to, you know, it just because you're a heroin addict, doesn't mean that, like, that's a problem. That's not a, you know, for me, it's not a crime. That's an addiction. So it's, you should be helping them. And if that means that maybe they don't have to lose their arm because they're doing heroin, then it's not the worst freaking idea. You know, it's,
get it because people have a problem that they should then have to suffer more is a ridiculous concept.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, and then you just think bigger picture and all that, and you think about, like, you know, how many people are sitting in prison now because they're addicted to something, you know, mm-hmm. and how much money is coming out of everyone's check because someone's addicted to something now, and how we're criminalizing people who just fell, they made a mistake, you know, you're not treating the actual problem. We're just, you know, punishing them and probably going to make them want it more as soon as they get out. But, you know, that's, I never even heard that, though. It's interesting.
And then that goes into the whole, like, you have to keep, you know, addictions as crimes, because if you keep addiction as crimes, that means that you can keep lower income neighborhoods that are, you know, prone to, you know, things like crack and heroin. And you arrest them, you throw more people of color in jail, then they have a federal offense, then they can't vote. It's like, there's so many freaking disgusting things that go into the reasoning of why so many addicts are criminalized. And we're one of the few first world countries that still do that, civilized countries that still do that. It's ridiculous. But, you know, they can go on to another podcast and why this country's terrible.
I know. This is what always happens. Every time we get on, it's like, yeah, how's the transition going? Fucking Obama, fucking Trump, you know.
Like everything.
Well, Hilarity ensues.
Fuck Trump! Which is...
Now my transitioning and the fact that, like, I am, like, I'm 36. Like, people just think that I'm aging and transitioning to the angry old Italian man I've always been.
All you need is, like, a garden hose and slippers at this point.
Yeah. That's it. It's really, I'm looking forward to, like, hitting 72. It's really, to yell, get off my lawn is a longing for me.
AJ, you're supposed to be out of acceptance. You know, you should allow them on the lawn.
Yeah.
No, I want, here's the thing, I equally hate everybody.
Okay.
So I think that it's the same. I think it's like, I'm never going to be like, listen, like, please get your heterosexualness off my lawn. I'll be like, get your homo ass off my lawn. It'll be equally kicking them off.
All right, so... All right. I don't know what to say.
No matter what diversity you are, I'm keeping your ball.
Popping it.
You like this frisbee? You like this frisbee?
It's gone.
Now get your black homo ass off of my lawn.
Exactly. No. A glimpse into AJ in 2042.
AJ's just transitioning to that old racist guy that lived down the street from me.
He used to be a cool Czech, now he's an asshole. Yeah.
He went from really accepting to just being a dick.
Yeah. Angry.
No, I'm not going to your premiere of Words.
The sequel, F Words. You know? But back to the question that got us off on this tangent. Your the transition to one night, how are you feeling physically and also, like, emotionally about it?
I mean, I gotta be honest, I'm very, very lucky. I have not had to deal with any kind of testosterone rage. I'm kind of, I don't know if it's because they prep you a lot. It's what they really stress to, like, you know, all the other things you'll want to see, like your voice dropping, it'll bug you out, but it's something that you want to happen. Same thing with, like, your physical appearance. But, you know, what they really stress is that you're going to get very angry very quickly. And luckily, that I don't think I've been getting any angrier any quicker than usual. So
maybe maybe you were just angry, like the max amount of angry to begin with.
Yeah. I was at max.
Can capacity. You put some rage in my testosterone? I'm a little off on that. I said thank you to somebody earlier today. It was very awkward.
Awkward. Yeah, no, I think, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, it could possibly be because I'm, you know, I am a little bit older in my transition. A lot of the people that go through it and start hormones, and, you know, majority are a lot younger than me. You know, so, I mean, I guess maybe it could also be because they're dealing with their own hormones as they're growing up and then adding to it.
You know, I'm not sure, but I'm very, very happy to not be dealing with that kind of extra stress on it.
Now I see why you did it. You know, you were approaching like old lady, and you were like, oh, now you're going for the Clooney thing.
Hmm. Yes, I was like, oof, no one likes an old lady, but an old guy.
Men age at a certain level.
That's what I'm saying. You were giving yourself like 30 more years of shelf life.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. I want to be distinguished now.
But
I think people feel like if you have my hair is salt and pepper at this point, I feel people think like I'm mysterious and I'm like, I'm not. I'm just old.
I'm not mysterious. I like Jeopardy and I fall asleep at 9.
Here I am. No mystery.
No mystery. Put on 30 Rock. I'm going to sleep.
Exactly. Now, now that everything is safe and happy for the LGBT community, how are you feeling?
I think
tongue inserted in cheek. Mm.
Let's just say that if the political climate has brought anything good out of what is happening, it is the new politicians for tomorrow, which means that people who, like, I never thought in a million fucking years would use their voices to really, like, push equality. Like, some drag queens I know are starting a lot of Democratic communities in Hell's Kitchen, Democratic clubs in different parts of New York. People who I think really do have a different perspective than your typical Democrat, than your typical liberal. Yeah. So I'm hoping that maybe can happen. But at this point, you know, we're just keeping fingers crossed for an impeachment.
Can I? I don't want to interrupt you, but it's funny you touched on something that I came across in about like 3 or 4 episodes ago. We had Zoltan Istvan back on, and he's like, you should listen to him, but he's very like. He's basically part of what they call the transhumanist party, but it's very much like focused on science and whatnot. And I was talking to him, I was saying that if anything good that came out of this, it's definitely awakened people that, hey, maybe I can run and maybe I can like get attention. Because look, Trump was, no one ever thought this would happen, and somehow he did grab the attention of people. Yes, the wrong people. Yes, the wrong message. Yeah. But in maybe we need, sometimes you need the dark to find the light, you know, like sometimes you do need this reaction to be like, okay, well now someone like, you know, like, and that's where I feel the Democrats, now I don't consider myself anything, but that's where the Democrats really messed up to me. Bernie Sanders was the guy. He ignited the Latinos, the African Americans, the gay community. Like everyone, you know, the average person was really fired up and inspired by him, and they really shut him out and went with status quo.
Most certainly. I mean, there's so many reasons that Trump won. I think he said something, not that I ever want to give Trump, you know. He's an evil genius, and I will acknowledge that. Like, he's a genius, he just uses it shittily. But he did say when, you know, he beat Hillary Clinton and you know, in response to the 3 million votes, he said, well, I wasn't trying to win the popular vote. He's like, I would have campaigned differently. I campaigned to win the electoral vote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, abandoned all the small town areas that Obama got.
Pennsylvania, not a big idea.
No big deal there.
You know,
Wisconsin.
And I mean, like, I kind of understand, you know, it's you know, the way you have to get those votes are things that, like, you know, no Democrat Hillary or no liberal like Bernie or, you know, no one wants to say, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not people who we want. I could see why Hillary doesn't want to go in the middle of fucking Alabama and talk about black rights, because she's there, booed off the stage. So it's like, the things that are important to us, like, Trump's willing to throw any community underneath the bus. Like, there's not a part of me that honestly thinks Trump doesn't like LGBT people. He works in the entertainment business. There's no, in New York City, there's no way 90% of the people that were in his wardrobe makeup department weren't gay. I mean, like,
that's a really, I've never heard your take on that. Like, that, it's pretty interesting.
I think that when push comes to shove, he would throw anyone under the bus. And if it was, as long as his kids don't fall into that category, he doesn't have anyone else close enough to him where he's going to feel directly affected by those actions, those things. He sees people as indispensable. So if he could say, I'm going to take away the LGBT's rights, LGBT community's rights to get married or one of the million other things, you know, he's okay with saying that. He knows it's not going to lose him votes from the people that might be on the, oh, gay people aren't that bad. He's not going to lose those votes. And he's going to gain all the crazy Christian Republicans that live in, you know, in the Bible Belt.
See, like, you know, my, go ahead,
as
bro.
Long as he's willing to, as long as you're willing to say whatever your audience wants to hear, you know, which I'm not saying that, you know, Hillary Clinton definitely does that to a point, as does any politician, but there's the, like, I'm literally just going to say whatever these people want me to hear, which what, we're obviously, you know, saying that's what he did.
I've said that a bunch of times. As a comedian, Donald Trump would be the hardest guy to follow because he would say anything in the room to get that audience, like, literally on his side, like, anything, and he'd figure it out. Like, he'd figure out how to, like, get that audience riled up no matter what.
He whipped out his dick. Yeah. I don't know how to follow that.
How am I going to follow him? You know, go ahead, bro.
100%. I mean, like, you have a, you know, you're in a room of people, and he doesn't have a script writer. Mm. A script writer. He obviously doesn't have a speech writer.
If he does, he's like 2 minutes into it and like, screw it.
And just abandons it.
These words are too big. But I'll figure it out.
And I don't know if it's like if he's doing part of the speech at the beginning, and then he's realizing, like, oh, well, obviously the people that voted for me, I've already catered to the dumbest of the dumb. Like, they're not gonna understand the speech. They just need to hear, you know, get rid of the Mexicans and the same stupid rhetoric that he's been pushing. I think that, you know, yes, was the fact that we didn't push Bernie, you know, as much as we should have, 100%. I mean, there was a media blackout on him, you know, to a massive degree, you know, but I think there's also the fact that there's only so much disgusting shit that you will say as a Democrat before it's like, okay, I can't go any further than that. Like, you're not going to get me to say, you know, immigrants are the reason that we have rape in this country. Like, no Democrat's going to say
It's not?
You know. No,
I didn't see one in the news. I'm pretty sure it's done.
Fox told me that's the truth.
Oh, okay.
No, they're wrong. It's not only the Mexicans. It's all people of color. That's where they got it wrong.
Oh, now, okay. Now, thank you for clearing that up for me.
White people did it again.
See, she cleared that. He cleared that up. Yeah. Thank God.
So disgusting. I can't
wait till I just take that audio clip and just, like, just those 10 seconds.
Tonight on Verbal Shenanigans.
All people of color. All people of color. Just repeat it like 100 times.
Now, continuing with the political thoughts, and since you're still continuing with your transition, it must be a blessing that they haven't changed over the Affordable Care Act right now, or as they're, I mean, they pretty much gave up right now from what I see.
Yeah, they just gave up. They literally just gave up.
Like, meh.
Yeah. Our 100 days are over.
See you next week.
What's that, 4 years? What?
I can't, like, I'm more nervous, like, what Pence is going to do once this guy gets impeached. I'm like,
yeah, I know. He's the real one. He's
crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, anyone that believes in that, you know, like, I mean, I get it. You think being gay is a choice is, you know, I get, like, I'm obviously never going to agree with it. like these conversion camps. Like, how do you, how is like a, as a fucking human being, do you see what they do with these conversion camps to LGBT kids, to kids, and go, yeah, no, I could see that that's helping. Like, I just don't understand. Like, he's like, once you get into any sort of abuse with kids, I'm like, anything else could be forgiven. I believe that, like, if there's a heaven and a hell, hell is just filled with people that fuck those kids. Like, that's pretty much it. So, like, the fact that he is for these conversion camps and, like, the fact that, like, you know, and the fact that these conversion camps are still, they're everywhere. Like, you know, they're all over the country. Like, I just, you know, and then you have people pushing these rhetoric that this is, you know, working, and these Christian right people that say this is working, and it's, yeah, it's who knows? It's like, you know, I feel like Trump is going to be worse internationally for us, where Pence is going to be worse nationally for us.
Go ahead.
You know, I just think that Trump is going to get us into World War, III, but, like, you know, we'll be fighting as one, whereas, like, there's going to be a civil war fucking Pence is in
state. See, it's not going to be World War III, because if he drops the bomb, it's going to be the greatest bomb. It's going to be the best bomb.
Mm.
They said my bombs were small. Showed them.
I have the biggest bombs, the best bombs, the greatest bombs. But
what he needs to be building is the best shield, is what the fuck he needs to build.
Yeah. Let's lighten the mood a little bit. I love talking to you because I get a different perspective. Now, you identify, I would guess, as a Democrat, or at least liberal anyway, right?
Yeah, I would say I definitely vote Democrat. I never vote third party just because right now they just don't have enough of a push. That sucks that we live in a world where, like, we're so much better than a dictator.
Are you saying that it stinks that you're only allowed to choose heads or tails? That's not a problem at
all.
They
should make the three-headed penny. I think that's our next step.
You're telling me that all your friends are either one thing or the other completely? It's ridiculous. But,
so ridiculous.
But I wanted to ask you, what I see, like, as one of the things that bother me about people, sometimes people who claim liberal, is this censorship of people's voices and stuff like that. That's what they were fighting for a long time, you know, like free speech and whatnot. Now I feel like some people have turned the other way. Like, my example, and what I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you saw Dave Chappelle specials, okay? Now, this is comedy, where whatever is said is almost 100% tongue-in-cheek, mm-hmm. and it's a joke. He was, like, I mean, I don't know if you watched him. I thought they were goddamn brilliant, because I think the guy is one of the greatest comedians of all time. Do you find that offensive? Like, do you, and like, when it comes to comedy and show, like stuff like that, do you really, like, do you want people to say the quote-unquote right thing? I always want to hear, like, someone else's perspective on that.
Well, here's my thing, is I think when the fact that comedy has obviously always been around, it's, you know, and as language changes, comedy, now that white people used to be able to say the N-word, right? And then when people were like, you can't say that anymore, it was like, but sometimes it's just a joke, and I'm just saying it as a joke. And that's pretty much how I equate it to non-PC jokes now. It's like, okay, I get that there's comedy within the community, and there's comedy within the situation, and then there's the butt of the joke.
Did you see Dave Chappelle's thing?
I haven't, but according to my Facebook, it is extremely transphobic. I can't quote on that. I will say that back in the day, I was a Chappelle fan, most certainly, back when I was in college, you know, when the Chappelle Show was at its, you know, the Daily Show and the Chappelle Show, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, that's, you know, was comedy gold. But what was acceptable then and what was acceptable now are two different things, you know. And I think that jokes that worked a decade ago are not going to work now. And that could be anything from race to fat jokes to, you know, really anything under the sun. And the fact of the matter is, it's the intent of the joke. So for me, is it a joke that is going to perpetuate within the straight community? Is it a joke that is going to ring true because we are the butt of the joke, or are you laughing with us? Like,
yeah, the special I thought was all like, it was almost more like when you really look into his jokes, it's more of him like making fun of his own self. Like, what am I like? He does a lot of, his character is a lot of play on like all of a sudden like his ego and his ego letting him down. It's a play on like him thinking a certain way. He's a very, very smart man, like an extremely smart comedy, and some of the things he builds up and is able to deliver. Yeah, of course he makes silly like dumb sexual jokes every once in a while, but some of the greater points he makes, I think people just blow these things out of proportion. And it's like, well, like, you know, like, it's a comedy special. It's if you don't like it, don't laugh at it. And like, I don't know, like, to me it's like anyone could say anything. Like, I have gay friend comedians that do all sorts of fun stuff. I have black friend comedians that I book on all my shows. Like, they do things, and it's just, you gotta be able to roll with some of the punches, especially in a comedy. When we start censoring comedy, we're in trouble.
Well, but that's for me, it's when is it not okay then? Like, when you say when I can't think of his name, the guy from Seinfeld, Kramer.
Kramer?
Michael Richards. Now, obviously he just went off on like a, you know, a
great bit. That's what I call it.
It was just like, hey, I done lost my fucking mind. And obviously, like, that's, you know, to an extreme, but what words then can you use? Is it, if you can't use the N-word, can I still use the word coon? Is that
the reaction was exactly allowed. The audience didn't laugh, they got outraged by it. Mm. Like, he's allowed to say it, but they got outraged by it, and he dug his own grave. It wasn't about you can or cannot say it.
Mm-hmm.
That I think you should be able to go do whatever you want to say.
And that's the thing. Like, if you want to be a comedian that's going to say, you know, racist or transphobic jokes, you can. I mean, you can say, but in today's day and age, you are going to bomb because that's not a thing that people find amusing. Like, you know, like, my friends are all drag queens. We're inherently out of our freaking minds, but like, you know, we're able to do comedy without having to mock other, you know, people. You know, I think that. Sometimes.
Go ahead. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I found him mocking black people, mocking white people, mocking straight people, mocking gay people, like. It's all, like, a lot of it is just a joke. Like, whereas we can't be taking these comedians' word like, it's dictation of what is right or wrong. They're playing on insecurities, playing on things like that. And like, Dave Chappelle makes fun of black people all the time. He makes fun of white people all the time. And I think to get upset over a joke, it's crazy. It's like Don Imus, free speech. He made a crappy comment that people make all the time. And like,
I mean, we'll go back to like the 1970s where there's a debate of, is All in the Family hilarious or is it insulting? Where you go back to Carol O'Connor, where everybody was either debating, oh, he's the biggest racist on earth, or people debating, no, he just hates everybody on the planet.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think that if people aren't finding it funny anymore, then it's not funny anymore.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, if a comedian is only able to be funny if they're making fun of someone, then maybe they need to reevaluate what they're doing, because it's only funny if people are laughing.
But let me ask you something. Like, we're laughing at a bunch of white rednecks who voted for Trump. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Because that fits the agenda that you might agree in. But if...
Yeah,
go ahead.
But I guess I would need a frame of reference for the joke.
Right, right. Okay.
Like, I think I would need... You have to realize that, you know, when you make these jokes, different groups, rednecks right now, you know, dumb rednecks in the South are sadly not getting killed off in the way trans people are being killed.
I understand that.
With each joke, you have to, with everything that you say in this world, you know, once you say it, it's out there. So, like,
yeah.
You know, if you make a joke about trans people and an audience doesn't laugh, I don't think the problem with them. I think the problem with the joke. I think that
no, but I think that's the best weapon. The best weapon is you're not laughing or you're saying that joke stinks. Whereas the next person can go up and make white heterosexual jokes, and maybe the half the crowd's not laughing at that, and then the next comic's gonna go up and do black jokes or which doesn't. You know, it doesn't happen too often. Like, almost every comic I meet are just amazing people who really try to, like... Yeah, sometimes when you push the envelope isn't always ready. Or the joke's not ready yet. But I always got to defend comedy. Because once we start censoring comedy, we're in big trouble. Because then you're... Then, you know, we're saying you can or cannot joke about something. I mean... Take your group of friends that you hang out with at a bar or have a drink with. I'm sure you're making jokes that are, you know, if you were said on stage, it would probably offend someone.
Of course. No, I mean, I think that, you know, it's hard to censor, you know, I don't like censorship. But I think that we do live in a world where right now, right now, in the political climate, we're already hearing enough nonsense that when, you know, we're in these places and we hear a joke, it's like, okay, well, now we're also not allowed to come and be comfortable here. So now it's another place that we can't go. And it, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, I don't ever get to shut off the fact that for a trans woman, you know, for my female women sisters, that there's a chance that only one in four of them are going to live past 45.
Yeah.
One in four. So when you make a joke about, all of a sudden I picked up this prostitute and I go down on her and the chick has a dick, so I slapped her around a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not funny to me. But you'd be
amazed. The comics that, I mean, that's such a hacky, old, shitty joke. Like, it's that's not even funny really anymore. But... You still, to me, you still got to support the right to say it because the next person can go up and argue your exact point and do it in their way. You know, like.
I mean, my thing is, you know, you can say whatever you want on stage, but then you don't get to be pissed off when you have two people in the audience.
Well, I 100% agree with you. 150% agree with you. Listen, my material is not going to be got like. I'm not
Scott has like 80 gay jokes. I gotta be honest. Yeah. Every single one. I walk in the bar. I'm like, what are you looking at?
Yeah, but like, if you're an actual good comic, most of your shit is not really about like that. Most of it is about yourself and your thoughts and your experiences and like, you know, like, so you, to me, you always got to defend the right of free speech or expression. Because if we say that, we could say it the other way. Like, you can't do that. You know, you can't say this. You can't say that. You can't make a movie about that. You know, I'm offended. You know, of course,
true,
yeah.
But I mean...
Some of the room's not going to like it.
But at the same point, you know, you know, we weren't allowed to make the movies up until recently and all those things. So, like, you know, you're also coming from a very, you know, a standpoint of not knowing all the things that we aren't allowed to do. Sure. Like, you know, the fact of the matter is, like, you know, if you just look at the whitewashing of, look at the whitewashing of movies, okay? That's been happening to gay scripts since the dawn of time. Like, you get a gay script and it's like, oh, well, he can't be struggling with homosexuality, we'll make him a drunk instead. And they make him an alcoholic in the movie.
Good point.
You know, so it's, you know, there's the overall censorship, you know, which is the very, like, oh, you shouldn't say that joke, it's not funny, you know, to the much, much bigger grand scheme of it, like, you know, the amount of gay movies that are made every year and the amount that actually gets shown in movie theaters.
Oh, come on. Beauty and the Beast is number one movie.
Yeah. And it was just thrown in my face when I saw it.
You know? I know. It just made me want to be gay and bang a candle.
Yeah. A man danced with a man, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
Next.
Yeah. They don't even, and it's so funny because, like, they don't realize, like, I wouldn't have went to see Beauty and the Beast, but, like, then I was like, oh, well, what's this gay shit that's all about? So, like, I went to see it. Like, I wasn't going to pay $12. Then I did. I was like, I want to see the gay part. So all they did was, like, make it more money.
Yeah. I mean, that clock and candle sex scene was amazing.
Yeah.
When the Beast takes Gaston, I'm just like,
yeah. That was a weird ending.
Well, I was always like, who's going to be on top? Because they're both big dudes.
That was some of the memes that came from that. Like, you're not okay with having, you know, your kid fall in love with someone of the same gender, but you're totally fine with them having Stockholm Syndrome. With
oh, yeah. Well, hell, at the end, and all, a guy falls off a building to his death. It's like, no, that's cool for kids.
Well, I even said I love that you guys are offended about a movie that its message is acceptance. But come on, the first gay character in Beauty and the Beast, that candle that was running around singing show tunes, come on! That was 20...
Come on! Yeah, I don't know, like, Disney's never supporting the gays. I'm always like, Disney is gay week in June. Like, literally, gay week. Like, you go to Disney and you hold hands with the princesses. It's gay week.
Like, you missed that week.
You know,
oh, darn. I was in North Carolina that week. They don't have that
week. No gay week in North Carolina.
We get our own bathrooms. It's cool, you
fucking
know?
North Carolina. Oh, my God. I feel bad for the three gays that haven't moved out yet.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about changing the subject here. I read an article, I think it came out today, where RuPaul was talking about he was pissed off about bachelorettes going into gay bars and partying in there. I just kind of want to get your take on it, just on the sake that I kind of see some of his points, later his points in the interview where he talked about, yeah, some straight people just asked me to show up to a party. It's like, hey, look, I got a gay person here. But I don't see that side from the bachelorette parties. But can you comment on that?
Oh. It's so annoying. It's we want everyone, like, come to our bars, drink with us, tip our bartenders. That's great. You want to have a good time. You want to feel safe. I get it. But, like, they come and it's like these bachelorette parties are always freaking wasted because it's a bachelorette party. So it's like, okay, we got it. You're drunk. And, like, they think that, like, these gay boys are there for their amusement. So they're, like, always at the DJ. They're, like, yapping in the DJ's ear. DJ's like, I don't give a fuck what you want to listen to. Like, this isn't your ball. Like, they're always grabbing at, like, the go-go boys and grabbing at the guests. It's, like, very apparent, like, this is a gimmick for them. Like, if you want to come to our bars and be part of our community, come join us. But it's just, like, oh my God, we're being so risque and going to a gay bar. Like, bitch, it's still Budweiser. Like, it's not that different. Like, you know, and it's, you know, like, we totally get, like, you want to come and dance, but, like, every time you're at a gay bar now, it's like, you know, guys are just, like, sitting talking to each other, and, like, girls are, like, trying to get them to dance, and it's like, They don't want to deal with your basic ass right now. Like,
they're making it their moment instead of just, hey, we're partying with some gay guys, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't, like, we would never, like, my community's not like, I would never be like, let's go to a straight bar and see what they're doing tonight. Like, it's just weird. Like, it's fucking weird. Oh,
hey,
my
Jay,
God.
If you come to a bar and you ask me to dance, I'll dance with you. It'll be a little awkward because I can't dance, but, you know. I'll do you one solid, okay?
I have, like, a photo album that's just me dancing with, like, guys in, like, cargo shorts. I was like, I'm at the straight bar. I'm crazy. Look at me listening to Bon Jovi.
TGI Friday's rules! Hashtag gay pride!
I just came back and I heard Michael Berlow saying that he would dance with you.
Yeah.
And then I heard you go, yeah, I've danced with a ton of guys in cargo shorts.
You don't understand life.
No, it's very bizarre. It's very, like, it makes you feel very much like a thing, like an object. It feels like they're at a fucking petting zoo, like when straight girls are at a gay bar. It's very much like, you know, it's bizarre. It's weird. Like, it would be equating, like, I'm going to go and hang out at, like, a Spanish bar in East Harlem to see what, like, the people of color are doing. Whoa! Like, it's weird. Like, if you want to come and hang out, come and hang out. But don't, like, take pictures with us and, like, tag us as, like, the gay people.
Now, like, no, it's weird because last time I went there, I put a quarter in the machine to get the feed for you guys, and it didn't come out. And I asked the bartender for my money back, and he was mad.
Stupid. There's no comment for that.
Pay a quarter to feed a gay guy, you know? Yeah.
They like carrots just like me.
Love,
oh my God, they like food?
I'm learning cultures.
They're eating lunch just like us.
I can't believe how much gays love lunch. Ew.
I thought it was brunch. That's what I always heard, Scott.
No. White straight people love brunch.
Oh, okay.
We're big on the brunch now.
Mm-hmm. Big on the brunch.
No, but that's huge in, like, Jersey City and, like, God, brunch is, like, massive. But what are you working on now? What's going on?
Oh, right now I'm really excited. I'm teaming up with Rain Dove, who you guys have interviewed before.
Absolutely.
Great guest.
With Rain and her and this guy, Joe Corradone, wrote a script called 86, and it's a post-apocalyptic short that takes place after a civil war in America. It's really? Sort of like what would
this
happen
if we This sounds like some
we
budget.
Mm. Yeah, it's luckily Rain has a lot of people that love her. So we're starting the Indiegogo campaign tomorrow, but
cool.
I'm not too stressed out about that because it's a pretty good script and it kind of looks at what would happen now if like we had a civil war and what the aftermath of that would look like.
That's interesting. That seems completely different than what you've been working on recently.
Yeah, what I'm kind of loving about Rain is because they don't believe in really gender at all, because what does that even mean? She's casting a lot of trans actors in cisgender roles.
Well, that's cool. Now let me ask you, saying that, like, she doesn't believe in gender at all. What are your feelings on that? Similar or slightly different? No.
It's, I believe that gender is a social construct, 100%. You know, I think that, you know, not that I think, but I know that the Native Americans didn't believe in gender. Their kids would be dressed the same until they were older and they had five, not that they didn't believe in gender, but they had five different genders. So for me, I feel that because I always knew I had to be, you know, dressed as a girl, I was very attached to my gender as a man.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Because I never really fit in where someone like Rain, who was never really forced into having to be feminine,
interesting.
You know, fought as a fireman, fought, you know, as being, while being, you know, under the impression of male. You know, so for her, it's been a different kind of gender.
Obi, no.
You know. yeah, it's just, you know, it's a little, it's just a different kind of situation. But as far as gender goes, I think that it is definitely a social construct that hopefully at some point we will be just getting rid of. But for right now, because we have to have, you know, gender in society, you know, I'm very attached to my male pronoun.
Interesting, interesting. So what else are you working on? So you got that. That sounds like I said, pretty way more involved.
It's pretty involved. It's the fact that we're shooting the end of April and we've been in pre-production for about 3 weeks is a pretty decent amount of time for a short. So,
did I ever tell you what happened with our interview with Rain?
I don't think so.
We interviewed Rain and Corey Wade for like an hour, really in depth, like good, like, you know, things were coming out, and you know they were hanging out and drinking a little bit, so things were even coming out more. And the recorder crashed, and we lost a whole interview, so we had to like redo it again. And you know how like when you redo something, it never like captures the exact same like feeling. But I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong, but it still sucked.
Well, I mean, that's so interesting.
Oh, they were
super interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, Rain just finished up doing a TED Talk, which was kind of amazing.
We just had Abigail Harrison, an 18-year-old girl who wants to be the first astronaut on Mars, who did a TED Talk on our show. She's really interesting, really fascinating. Cool.
You guys get a lot of very interesting people, which is, you know, I feel so. So
I mean, when we have filler episodes, we're like, just put AJ on.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have fun with that.
Hey, you know, you have the trophy. You've been on, now. There's no one even close.
AJ
other than,
is the Cal Ripken of verbal shenanigans.
Well, it goes you and then AJ, like basically with like who's been on more.
The only thing I can think of is Doug Max. If he's
he's only been on like three. Two. Dom would might be more. Dom, but anyway, you hold the title because one. I was just gonna say to you, like I think these interviews are important. I really do.
I think
they're always as open as it can possibly be. Whether like sometimes the controversy is the best part of it. Yeah. Like but it's like
we're laid back, but it's truthful. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Most of the time, I'm like a completely agreeing with you, and like the only thing I fear is sometimes going too far the other way, where we're censoring too much. You know, we're worrying too much. You know, but other than that, like it's.
Well, I mean, don't get me. I mean, there are times where I think people go a little bit crazy with different. Like, I just was on Twitter the other day on my Lady Peacock Twitter account, and someone wrote me, so I'm like, God bless a very young, probably 17 years old, non-gender conforming, you know, kid decided to write that my movie was doing harm to the trans community.
Yes, and you got my email. Yes.
And I was like, did you watch the movie? And then she was like, well, anything with drag queens is hurts the trans community. And I was like, okay, so we're just balls to wall crazy. Got it. And that's when, like, I think, like, when you're attacking over anything that can look a little bit transphobic, anything that can look a little racist, that's, you know, a huge stretch. You know, I think it's all about, you know, adapting to the situation, you 100%. Know, as well, mm-hmm. you know.
I think it's also being about, like, approaching life with a little bit of humor every once in a while. Yeah. Like, really things down a little bit. When you approach someone with humor, and that always breaks the ice immediately. You know, like, and then you're able to, like, agree.
I start up almost every conversation with, like, a rape joke just to break the ice.
I'm offended.
I'm in the middle. Continue.
You know what? Program. I'm going to my safe space.
Bye, Scott.
Come on, Snowflake.
So, AJ, as our correspondent, Snowflake. No, but I do want to ask you, what do you think about Milo?
Oh,
that good, huh?
Listen. I'll tell you my opinion first. If we want to trade opinions,
I would love to hear your opinion.
My opinion is that he's
He's got a sickness, but he is. I think a lot of the things he's like when I heard him on Joe Rogan's for 3.5 hours or whatever it was, a lot of it was like tongue in cheek. Like he was definitely just trying to rile things up, and Rogan was really giving it to him. Like, you know, when he was wrong, he was wrong. But I think people rioting over him speaking is a little crazy too, because you know, like. They used to riot over Martin Luther King speaking, like, the opposite way. Like, you're just giving this guy more attention. I think he's very smart in the way that he he's riles up. Like he gets an audience and he gets people. But I think he's more of a clown than anything. But I also think, like, the over-censorship of it is going the other way. Mm. That's my opinion.
That's fair.
That's my opinion. And then my time is up.
Yep. Goodbye, AJ.
No, I mean, I definitely, you know, I think that he's definitely a guy that just his existence is to rile people up. And I think that mm-hmm. gets into a whole, like, narcissism and, you know, not having any self-awareness. And there's just so many, like, he's just like a therapist wet dream. Like...
Also my white dream.
You know, he's actually my hero.
See, there it is. Exactly. But, see?
You know, you got, at this point, he's going to have to laugh as the nuts.
The way I see it is think about how many straight nuts we've dealt with over the years. You guys now have a gay nut case.
Making movement in the world.
Every murderer ever is a white, yeah. white straight dude. Welcome to the club.
I know. I'm like, I can't wait for me to just look like every other rapist. It's going to be great. I called the section in like Macy's where it's just cargo shorts and like flannel button downs. I'm like, oh, that's like rape 101. Got it. Okay.
Meanwhile, my whole wardrobe.
What's wrong with a hoodie?
Listen. I have evolved past cargos, but I flannels, the way I see it, I've been wearing them since fifth grade, wore them all through college, wore them, now they're back in style, so eventually I'll be out of style again, and I'll be comfortable still.
I like it.
You know, you gotta own it sometimes.
Yeah. Make it your own style.
This is my look. This is it. Mm. But, so you... You would think Milo is just kind of like what I think, just kind of like an entertainer trying to rile up people, get likes. And, yeah, I do too. Yeah. What do you think about people rioting on that, though?
It's all for show. He's just another narcissistic lunatic who happens, you know, to be one of ours and not one of yours.
Yeah, well,
that's how they describe me a lot of times, I know, on the podcast. Yeah.
But, AJ, we've been talking for way longer than I thought. You got a game? Go ahead.
Yeah. This kind of goes back before AJ got on. I talked about the Belko experiment, the film. And as I wanted to see it and I was watching reviews, everybody kind of called this what's called a pitch movie. Do you know what a pitch movie is?
The Belko experiment?
Yeah.
The Belko experiment, I just saw this weekend, and, it's amazing.
It's amazing, yeah. Like, everybody's calling it a pitch movie, which is basically, you know, just bringing something and adding something else. So, Belko experiment is Office Space meets The Purge.
Okay.
So, I have a list of 40 different movies. One section is action horror. One is kids comedy, and I want to see if we can magically figure out an awesome film that we can pitch down the road.
Okay.
So a part it's of this 40? Game is basically you give me one number between 1 and 40, and then give me a second one, and I tell you the two films in each section and see if we can make something happen.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, do you want to start with our guests here?
I mean, I don't like that.
Yeah, you see.
All right, AJ, give me a number between 1 and 40.
Okay. Let's go with 37.
37.
You would, you queer.
All right. The Ring. All right. Our first movie is The Ring. And give me another number.
Let's go with 22.
Okay. The Ring meets Blazing Saddles. I would be down with that.
I mean, it's a lot of racism and a lot of death.
Yeah, I mean, the Asian woman comes out, and there's just chronic jokes about
Asian.
Can you
imagine
Asia.
They tried to make Blazing Saddles today? Let's remake it with Ryan Reynolds.
All right, this might be a little past our time, so let's go to a next section. Try it again, Scotty.
All right, I'm going to go with number 18, my favorite number.
All right, 18, Rocky.
Oh, yes. 18 and 27, Scott Niedermeyer.
27. Rocky meets Dumb and Dumber.
I mean, isn't that what Rocky 1 was about? I'm just looking for dumb.
I'm just trying to get to the fight. I don't know what happened. that's not one.
I'm just looking for Apollo's dead face.
All right, AJ, you go with another number here.
Let me go with number 3.
Number 3, RoboCop.
Ooh, and let's do 14.
14, RoboCop meets the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, that's just fucked up.
I mean, let's be honest. Mighty Ducks 2, I mean, they basically met the RoboCop of hockey teams and still won.
Was that Iceland?
Yeah, Iceland. Yeah. So let's be honest. They overcame.
Yeah.
I think, personally, I think they're better than RoboCop.
I would like to see RoboCop replace Goldberg as Gold.
I would like to see RoboCop versus the Icelandic middle school hockey team. Call me crazy. Yeah. But.
Scott, give me a number.
I'm going to go with the old number. We're on episode 142.
1 to 40.
I'm still going. All right. 32.
32. A werewolf in London.
Ugh, before we even go further, right. Worst song in the entire catalog of classic rock.
London Calling.
Werewolf in London. It's the worst song in the entire world. That and Nana, I'm with the spirit in the sky. Mm-hmm. I hate those two songs. I hate them.
It was beautifully sung by you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what most of my,
like
most
to
my fans
remake
say that.
Video for those.
Hands out, we're the spirit in the sky. Shut the fuck up.
Well, before you shut the fuck up, why don't you give me another number?
Oh, 22.
22. Well, we already did that one.
God damn it. 23.
23. So, a werewolf in London meets Caddyshack.
I don't even know what to think about that.
Be weird. It's in the hole. It's in the hole. Oh wait, there's this big piece.
Play some werewolves. Yeah, you got rid of like the groundhog and Caddyshack. And replace it with the werewolf.
And instead of cutely grabbing like balls and bombs, it kills you.
Yeah, you know.
Like Ted Knight would be shaking his head arm at the werewolf as it prevents him from winning. Yeah.
Yep. Let's do one. The left column is AJ AJ Mattioli's Lady Peacock meets.
All right,
and then AJ picks.
Let's go with number 4.
Number 4. So I'm doing from
Lady Peacock meets.
Lady Peacock meets Harry and the Hendersons. I mean, tell him.
I identify as a beast.
Yep. another Beauty and the Beast remake. God damn it.
You are the worst drag king I've ever seen. Clean it up!
Honey, you gotta shave, girl.
Take it down.
I'm 7'8". What do you want me to do? This is my look.
Girl, your 5 o'clock shadow is deep.
That was an awesome movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, AJ.
I'd watch it. I'd produce that.
I would love to see Harry and the... I don't even know how to twist that. Harry and the Peacocks. But And if people want to check you out, they want to see what's going on with you and see what.
The next big thing is April 8th and May 13th. I'm having screenings for Words over at the Broadway Comedy Club at 1 p.m.
Nice.
And you can find that on at Words the Film on both Instagram and Twitter.
Can I tell you what I love right now? That the more you've talked to us, your voice is getting scratchier and scratchier.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like when my mom would want to talk to me when I was like 15. I'm like, enough, guys.
It's very weird. It's great though. I'm very excited, but
I love it.
It's weird. Yeah, no. Hopefully, it'll stay at a level and not be going up and down for that much.
I said that from 15 to 22.
No. That's Jurassic Park.
Yeah, what else is going on?
Blazing Saddles,
what else?
For the record.
What else is going on? So you got that film, anything else? Where can people also check you out?
You can check me out at MattioliProductions.com.
Awesome.
Pretty easy.
AJ, you could also check her out, him out on, I mean, how many episodes? Five? Six? So, it's got to be like six.
You told me to make the spreadsheet. Haven't done it yet.
But it's got to be a bunch of episodes. And like I said, AJ, I think our interviews are important because it's free form and it always goes somewhere and it's informative and educating. And
I love it.
Yep, mm-hmm. I love it too.
Well, I love it. It's great. And it's nice to be on a podcast that's not, you know, the same audience that's used to hearing my side of things. You know, it's nice to be on a podcast that, you know, primarily, you know, might not be LGBT and it's not preaching to the choir.
You'd be amazed. Our whole audience is LGBT.
Yeah. It really is weird.
It's strange.
I love the episode and identify as a man. It's weird how they tell us.
So they're like, I love what you did with that Red Bull race pilot, but he wasn't gay enough.
Yeah.
But I love this. I always love this. And I thank you for
great.
Like I was gonna like let's get AJ on for 20 minutes. It's been an hour and 6 minutes.
It's been fun.
And like I said, these are important. So this will be up tomorrow. And thanks as always.
Awesome. I love it.
Always a pleasure.
All right, sounds good, man.
Take care, buddy.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's just always a pleasure. It's like, why cut it short? Sometimes I'm like, you know, like I'm worried about like the recording length. I'm like, what does it matter? Like, it's free to everyone. They can turn it off at any point they want.
They get to work. It's like, all right, I'll catch back when I drive home.
Or this is terrible. Like, I don't need to hear 3 hours of this.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
that's a weekly thing.
Hey, we're coming back. We're coming back with Avengers. Listen, something was wrong.
We have a new strategy this year. And
I think those old numbers were not even. I think it was like.
You gotta telling me not 2,000 some odd people wanted to talk about SS Humiliation?
Yeah. And then one of them was Love Making with the Lord, which is like one of our worst episodes ever. And it's like.
No, it wasn't. Please go back to that one.
But I mean, this
I somewhat remember that one.
This podcast just keeps on rolling, man.
Yeah,
and, keeps reinventing itself. And again, we are going with the streak of this year. We will not have no guests. I'm going for guests on every episode. I don't care. I will find a farmer to talk to. I don't care.
I'll search for a farmer.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, I'm sure I can get a farmer at the farmer's market on Sunday. But anything else, bro?
Nothing in my head. That was my game today that we did. So
yeah, that was good. Was good. At first, when you said we have 40 of these, I'm like, I thought you meant
I wasn't going to go through all 40.
I was like, has this guy not learned anything?
Number 32. And that would be The Matrix meets Home Alone.
Man, but Barlow, anything to promote? Let's get the hell out of here.
Since it's his birthday, Joe Fernandez and Mike Gaffney, All in Our Heads podcast, they gave us their recorder for a week, so we got to give them a little bump. And again, it's Joe Fernandez's birthday, so even if you don't listen, why don't you go onto the site and say, hey, happy birthday, Mr. Fernandez.
Yeah, or like send him a picture of a corgi or something that he can like.
Yeah, so he can squeal or send him like
Jif peanut butter or something.
Yeah.
And I guess Mberlu 721 Facebook.com, since this coming week is the last Walking Dead, and as Scott will probably say, thank God, because it was
I mean, it's typical Walking Dead. I thought this one was good for the most part. It was like building up to the end, which is we know it's going to be a war. And then the war is going to happen. Someone's going to be in trouble, and they're going to cut to black, and it's going to be like, wait till next season.
Yeah, and then the 19th most popular character will die, and we're supposed to cry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever. And this will be up tomorrow, so I'm going to promote. I don't know if I know the time. Well, I'll promote two things. Thursday, I'm going to be at Paisano's in Rutherford with Mark DeMeo. It's a comedy shop show. And then April 2nd, which is Sunday, I'll be back at Tierney's. With Johnny Watson headlining. It should be a grand old time. Mm. Guys, the best thing you can do for us is share the show. I realize that leaving reviews, yes, populates that in iTunes, but there's nothing better than you going, hey, this podcast was entertaining. You know, text message it to someone, send it in a link. That is the best thing you can possibly do for us. And then all the leaving the reviews and hey, give us a like on Instagram. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at Verbal Shenanigans or on Twitter at VS Comedy or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Verbal Shenanigans. All that shit really helps.
Vote for us on Podcast Land.
Yeah, I put like 6 votes in the other day. But
we're no longer in the top 5. We got to do something.
God damn it. We're never going to win that thing.
Probably not.
But guys, this is always fun. We do it at Labor Love. Next week should be a huge guest. So one of my favorites of all time.
It's someone.
It's Michael Berlow, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I finally made it.
Good night. Let's get the hell out of here.
I sent the email during the podcast. A diving catch, a stolen